The title of my soul winning tip today is Signs and Wonders. All right, you know, this is real big with the charismatics and the Pentecostals out there, right? See, signs and, if you haven't heard of it, signs and wonders, it's the belief that those miraculous events, those healings, those things that Jesus and the apostles did while they were here, are still in effect today. And quite frankly, the charismatics, they also believe that those are what you would have as evidence of your salvation or your spirituality when it comes to them. And to an extent, they also believe that you will perform these if you're saved, which obviously is wrong. You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look for me, if you would, at verse 22. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." And then Paul says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Turn to Acts chapter 2. See, there's a lot of Jewish Greek charismatics out there, right? And today I got 2 points for you on how we could get through this, why they believe this, and how we could show them that it is wrong. Point number one is this, you know, why do they believe this? You're there in Acts chapter 2, look at verse 16 if you would. This is just after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and they were speaking in tongues or other languages. And Acts chapter 2, verse 16 says this, Peter's saying, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." You see, we know that when Peter's talking about the last days, what we consider the last days is pretty much any time from the time of Jesus till the end of the world. You see, and the charismatics, they use this verse, and they want to use it to tell us that everyone should be able to prophesy, everybody should be able to see visions, everybody should be able to get a word from God, right? Dream dreams and all that. But what I want you to see is that this time frame that Peter's really talking about, it's really being narrowed down to specifically the end times. Look at verse 18. It says, "And on my servants and on my handmaidens," he says, "will I pour out in those days of my spirit." He's talking about those days. He's not talking about these days, right? He's referencing the prophet Joel. He says, "In those days," and there's all these qualifiers in the next two verse of when this is going to happen. He says, "And they shall prophesy." He says, "And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood." He says, "Before the great and notable day of the Lord." You see, what he's doing is he's saying, look, all this stuff is going to happen, and he says, before the great and notable day of the Lord. So turn to Hebrews chapter 1. You see, there hasn't been any water turned to blood. There hasn't been any fire all over the world, just in California. There hasn't been any vapor or smoke. You know, I haven't seen the sun go out or the moon turn to blood, right? This is why these people, what they also have to believe in, which is like the stupidest doctrine ever, is preterism. You know, they believe that all of the end times prophecy has already happened. And I don't understand why. I mean, there hasn't been a millennial reign of Christ. You know, all these wonders and supernatural things haven't happened yet. But they believe in preterism. You're there in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1:1 says this. He says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers," he says, "by the prophets," he says, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son," spoken unto us by the Word of God, spoken unto us by the Holy Bible. You know, this is how he's speaking to us now. He's not speaking to us by the prophets. He's not speaking to us by receiving a word of God, dreaming dreams or anything right now. He says he's speaking to us by the word of God, "whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." He says the only prophesying that we hear today is out of the word of God. You know, it's not by any private interpretation. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains," he says, "and have not charity, I'm nothing." He says, look, Paul says, I have the gift of prophecy. He had it then. He understands everything. He knows it all. But if he doesn't have charity, he's nothing. So, in other words, having the gift of prophecy, receiving a word of God, he says, look, that's not important when it comes to charity. Point number two is this. Jesus actually spoke about signs and wonders. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, if you would. Matthew 12, 38 says this. He says, "Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." So the Pharisees are asking Jesus, look, we want to see a sign. Show us a sign and we'll believe. That's what they're saying. But he, talking about Jesus, answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." He says, "And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas." He says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Turn to Romans 13, or Revelation 13, if you would. The only sign you're going to get here on this earth is that sign of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that sign of someone going to your door and preaching you the gospel. It's not going to be anything else. It's nothing else, not from anybody, no word of God from some private interpretation. It's the preaching of the gospel is what, that's the only sign you're going to get. Now, here's the thing. I don't doubt that some of these charismatics and Pentecostals, you know, see unexplained supernatural stuff. I don't doubt that they do that. Because, you know, there's videos out there, if you look hard enough, you'll find something that's, you're like, wow, you know, I don't get it. So here's the question, you know, where do these signs and that these people see today that actually may happen, where do they come from? You're there in Revelation 13, look at verse 2 if you would. It says, "And the beast," that's the Antichrist, "which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion." He says, "And the dragon," that's the devil, "gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Drop down to verse 11. It says, "And I beheld another beast," this is the false prophet, "coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and he doeth great wonders." He does great wonders. He speaks like a dragon. You know, he's falsely prophesying, and he's doing signs and wonders, right? "And he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles." In other words, what you're seeing here is that the reason why these people can do these things today, do these things today, is because the devil is doing them for him. That's where it's coming from. It's not coming from God. It's coming from the God of this world. And he's doing this stuff to confuse people, to cause doubt, to sway them, to keep them away from understanding the true gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew 24, 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." The only people that are not going to get deceived about this are the people that are actually saved. If you're actually saved, you're going to see that stuff and be like, no, that's weird. That's not right. You know. In conclusion, turn to 1 Corinthians 13:8. We're going to flip to like four verses, so turn quick. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says this. It says, Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So what exactly does it mean to have charity? Because obviously charity in 1 Corinthians 13 is more important than these signs and wonders, right? So charity, what is charity? Turn to 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover," what? "A multitude of sins." So having charity means you're covering a multitude of sins, all right? Turn to James 5. James 5 and verse 20. James 5, verse 20 says this. It says, "Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." In other words, to have charity, you're hiding a multitude of sins. How do we hide a multitude of sins? We preach the gospel to somebody and they get saved. They are now washed by the blood. They are saved. They have eternal security. Having charity means that you're a soul winner. Having charity means you're preaching the gospel. Having charity means you're going out and you're getting people saved. So what do we do? What do we do when we come to somebody's door and we show them this and they still want to believe in their signs and wonders? What do we do? Turn to Matthew chapter 16. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 4. Matthew 16, verse 4 is another reference to the prophet Jonas. He says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." He says, "And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas." But what I want you to see is the last sentence in this verse. It says, "And he left them and departed." You see, there is no one better at winning souls than the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no one that's ever going to be better than that, right? And you know what? Sometimes Jesus had to walk away. Sometimes Jesus had to stop and go somewhere else. So what do we do when they don't want to listen? When they still want to trust in their signs? Look, you need to just walk away. Don't waste your time. If you show somebody the only sign that they're supposed to get, the sign of the prophet Jonas, the death, burial, and resurrection, and they don't want to believe it, move on. That's all you have to do. You gave them the sign. Don't waste your time. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I pray that this soul-winning tip was edifying. I pray that we use it, to show these people to trust in these signs and wonders, you know, where they're wrong and why it's wrong, and that they might believe and trust in that death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Lord. I pray that you work in our hearts today and keep us safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.